Welcome to Flip Table Theology, a weekly conversation centered around flipping tables of oppression, injustice, privilege, division, and religion as acts of faith and worship.
We are so excited you guys are joining us at this table. Grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Flip Table Theology. I'm super excited for this week. I'm always excited to gather in this space, but this week just feels a little different for many reasons. But the one that we're going to focus on is just we're going to take a different approach to the podcast this week. We've had many, many very heavy, hard conversations week after week here for the last few months. And so we thought it would be kind of nice to have a little change of pace for us and for our listeners. And so many of you know that we have a Facebook group that is called the Flip Table Community. And it's just an opportunity for us to try to gather and have more in-depth discussions around our podcast and different things that may stir up for people. And so we threw out to our Facebook group just if they had any questions for the three of us as our flip table host. And several of them sent some messages to me with some questions for us to dig into. So just a more informal podcast today, a chance to kind of look behind the scenes a little bit, which I think will be a nice change of pace. So before we dive into these questions, I just want to say hi to Holly and Sharita, who are here with me today, and just see how you guys are doing.
I'm good. I'm actually really, really, really good. I feel like I am like fully embodying. So here in the Midwest, we've just had as my daughter has told everybody, as she's been so excited that, you know, Punxsutawney Phil saw his or did not see his shadow at the beginning of February. So we've had an early spring. And so it's been really warm around here, and just, and I know we've had cold days, but statistically, I guess we're data wise, we're a lot warmer this time of year. And so like, March is always my favorite month. It also happens to be my birthday month. But I love it because like all of a sudden it goes from just that very sleeping, dormant state of winter to like you just wake up one day and like the whole everything on the ground is purple. And it's like the henbit and the dead nettles and the dead nettle and the violets and just all the beautiful little hints of spring. And then there's dandelions and there's daffodils, which are yellow. And I'm just like fully embodying this spring of just color and new life and growth. And just the last couple of days, in fact, I was driving here to your house and some of the trees are flowering and budding, and just, you know, I feel like I've just like settled into that space really beautifully of just, it just feels like a new energy. It feels like a relief. It feels like getting to just exist in a space of trying to learn to seasonally live a little bit better. And I really embodied that. I know winter is supposed to be a time of rest, but we have the new year in the middle of winter, which is kind of like a time to like incubate new things and a time to like sit on new things. And so this feels like the season of like, okay, things get to like emerge. Things get to be like time to put energy into things. So I've just been in a really happy, wonderful spring space. So and enjoying time outdoors a lot. So that's been really good.
And Sharita, how about you? How are you doing?
Spring hasn't quite sprung for me yet, like Holly, although it's blooming. It's all over the yard, like you said. There's lots of little red buds all over the place, little purple red buds, which I appreciate the growth and excitement of coming spring, but it hasn't quite sprung for me yet. I think I still needed a little bit more daylight, but I am appreciating the sunlight and feeling the effects of that. It's nearly spring break here, and looking forward to a little break from teaching. So yeah, I'm doing okay.
Good. Good, good, good. Oh,
how about you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm in, you know, the midst of still kind of navigating transitional seasons. I think this transition of the seasons physically, like outdoors, is a really beautiful imagery for that. And so, you know, trying to hold space and tension for new things, acknowledge emotions around things that you're letting go, and, you know, all of those kind of pieces. So the last couple of weeks have just been a lot of that, a lot of being intentional. I've gotten to practice more self-care.
Yay.
In the last couple of weeks than I think I have in years. My body is appreciating that.
What are you doing for self-care?
So several things. I think one of the things that I've been able to do in this season of transition is to really kind of do some processing around like what are really bad habits that I've had? What are things that I've justified not doing because I felt like I was doing productive things and good things? And so I've been able to really kind of do some evaluating of like, man, what are things I need to put higher on my priority list? I need to be more intentional around. So things like exercise and rearranging my schedule in a way that I normally would not have been able to do that so that I've got some time, you know, 3 or 4 times a week that I can not feel guilty about taking an hour and, you know, getting a workout in and some of those kind of things. That's been really wonderful. Last week, both Bob and I took Friday off completely and just we went and saw a movie at the movie theater. I can't think of the last time we did that, just the two of us. I don't know if we've ever done that, just the two of us. We went out to breakfast, to a bookstore, we went to a coffee shop. Like it was just a day with no agenda and no errands that needed to be ran. And like I'm one of those people that usually I'm going to interweave being productive. With like, hey, I'll spend time with you, but let's go do things while we do it. It just felt really good to be able to kind of place more of those personal pieces a little bit higher for a season. So
can we pause right there for a second at this conversation about self-care? I know it wasn't one of our topics that came up in the discussion, but I think it is worth sitting here for a second and just embracing what has been said. Because for me, what you said in particular, Christy, is monumental. Shift. Mm-hmm. I want to honor that because it's an area that of concern that I've had for you in particular for a long time, as well as myself and Holly. One of the words that you used is a word that I have spent time exploring for myself over the last few years, not just this year, but a couple of years, is the word productivity. Mm-hmm. And I used to measure my days and time by being productive. I think in particular, our podcast and some of the language that we use has made me think about productivity as it relates to freaking capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to let go of that term to measure my days and my time and my actions, not by productivity, but other measures of success, including rest, and rest being something that is important and worthy of celebration as a part of our success. Being able mm-hmm. to successfully care for ourselves allows us to do the things that our hearts have passion for, including taking care of each other and other people.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can all three name and acknowledge that we usually do a really good job of getting things done and taking care of people, but we do not always do a good job of taking care of ourselves. I think we probably do a better job of taking care of one another than we do taking care of ourselves.
I just want to celebrate the moment because
yeah,
even little steps and little changes and even the language of recognition really warms my heart. I really, really am grateful to hear all of us taking seriously our health and well-being in the space of self-care. And self-care is not lazy. It is not selfish. It is important for us to do that. And I want mm-hmm. to acknowledge that.
Yeah, I love that. I want to jump on something you said really quick. And you used the word worthy. And I think of how often, and this has been a huge shift for me in the last couple of years, but especially this last year, of recognizing that things that are important to me, things that my body needs, things that I find so much life and nurturing from are worthy of my time just as much, if not more, the things that I am responsible for. I spent the first several years, my kiddos' lives, doing a lot of art journaling, and I do a lot of watercolor art, and I've pulled out those journals recently and gone through them. And last year, I think it was like last winter, I stopped doing that. And just like, it's been kind of a year of that space, not having that space. And I kind of noticed like in the last couple of years before that, like it had slowed down quite a bit. And so last night I brought out and I've tried to a couple times, but I like brought it out and I sat down and my kids and I sat down and we were painting together. And it was just this moment of like, I just like was overwhelmed with this is worthy of my time because this gives me so much life and like brought so much joy to my kiddos to share in that space together. And it's like, even though we weave this in consistently, it was a moment of, to me, like to actually like hear in myself, like, this is more important than anything else I could be doing. And I just want to name that too. I think that like, it's so easy to get confused on our priority list because of what culture tells us and because the demands and the responsibilities and, you know, living in a world where most of us struggle sometimes to like afford to live because things are just really hard. And I think it's really important to just be able to say that, like, it takes a lot of intentionality to rewire our brains to get to that point. But I love that word worthy, because those things are worthy of our time, because they're worthy of, you know, what we need to be healthy and to give more in those times that we do have to be responsible to other things. So,
yeah. And I think it's important, Holly and Christy, for us as friends who share a podcast and who share a space and who share lives, that we model that for each other, but also model it for the people who look up to us, that self-care is something that is we are worthy of self-care, and those things that we do are worth our time.
Yeah, 100%. So Sherita, you kind of named the relationship that the three of us share on the microphones, off the microphones. And one of the questions that we got this week from listeners spoke to that, and kind of a fun place for us to start maybe. So the question was asked, you all are friends outside of hosting this podcast together. What does time together off of the microphones look like for you all? What do you like to do together? And what do you all talk about outside of the podcast? So anybody want to jump in and give a glimpse behind the scenes?
I want to start with saying that I have a relationship with the two of you, but I have independent relationships with you too. I think with you, Christy, we tend to nerd out on topics.
Yes.
Literally
totally nerd out.
Explore the world through words. We ask questions that would make a person think that we're trying to solve the world, and we're really not, just kind of just talking. Mm-hmm. Holly helps to connect me with nature and to myself and to kids. And so we talk a lot of kids. We talk a lot of nature. We talk a lot of learning, developing, kind of the exploration of the world through the eyes of a child. I think together, you know, I like coffee and food. And we've talked about for a while visiting Crystal Bridges, and we have not done that together yet. But I know that's something that we all talk about visiting and doing together. I think we all enjoy learning. And that's something that we do together also, is just learning new things, whether it's art or books or music or people. We're always looking to learn something new, and we try to learn from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I would add that I think, especially the three of us that are here, have been friends now for, you know, for over a decade. You and I have been friends, and for almost probably right out a decade, we've been friends with you, Sherita. And I think that part of why we started this podcast was these are the kind of conversations we do have all the time. And a lot of times very unfiltered, and it's very safe with ourselves. But it was also like, these are, you know, this is why we wanted to share a podcast, was we talk about this stuff all the time. Why not invite other people into a space when we know that not everybody has those tight-knit connections of people that believe the same way or on the same journeys of deconstruction and on the same journeys of just like growth and emerging into, you know, the newer versions of ourselves or whatever. But I do really value both of you, because I think a lot of what our friendship looks like on like the most normal days is being able to reach out and being able to celebrate for each other things that are wins in our world. We do celebrate self-care a lot, and I feel like we hold each other accountable to that a lot, but we know intimately what, you know, what things we're holding and which responsibilities we're each having to carry and the weight of that. So like celebrating the wins together. Mm-hmm. And I also just like look back over some of those messages and just the amount of times we reach out to each other via text, or, you know, there's the times that like we show up at your house, Sherita, and just leave things on your doorstep because your introvertedness is like, I don't want a people, but like, we're going to bring you brownies or coffee or something. And just that space of being able to sit in space with each other in the midst of grief, in the midst of struggle and hardship, and ache. And so there's a lot of that that gets weaved in a more private capacity for each other. And I feel like we make room for that on the podcast, and we probably indicate that, but just like, I value so much the fact that we not only get to talk about trees together or talk about nerdy things that we love and social justice issues, but we also have that friendship that's like, hey, we're going to show up on your doorstep because you've had a bad day. We're going to, you know, reach out and check on you when we know things are challenging, or we're going to throw an impromptu celebration dinner because we know something really big happened. And so I value that a lot, that I have those tight-knit connections that we really do get to do life together. So,
yeah. And I think it would probably surprise a lot of people to hear that really, honestly, the conversations we have on the microphone, like you said, Holly, are the same conversations we have off the microphone. You know, there's kind of a running joke in my marriage of like, I'm somebody that loves to read research and talk about things theoretically and process things analytically. And that is not something that my husband enjoys. And so, you know, he jokes a lot of times, he's like, I feel like you just need to call Sherita and Holly, you know, like you need to get with your people and talk about that. That's above me kind of thing. And so he knows and appreciates that, like, this is a space for me that is really life-giving, whether we're recording something or not. I love and appreciate that both of you are people that send me things to read and I send you things to read. And like, when I do, it's, oh, I want to see what that was about. And then we talk about it. And like, that's just really organic to who the three of us are with each other. But I also think that there is an element of having done life together for 10 years that much more, the two of you are much more like family to me than you are friends and colleagues. Your kids call us, you know, Aunt Christie and Uncle Bob. And like, I think we just have always had this very familial kind of approach to the relationships that the three of us have. And a lot of times that looks like, you know, we host dinner at our house, usually every Sunday. And sometimes Sherita comes, and sometimes that's way too many people for Sherita. So we try to bring you things and check on you. But that's the kind of friend we are. So Sherita's like, I love you all, but I can't do you all tonight. And we're like, that's totally okay. Like, mm-hmm. Do you want us to bring you dinner tonight? You know, drop it off on your doorstep or check in with you tomorrow? Like, that's the level of friendship. It's like, that's okay. Right. Absolutely. So right before this, I got to see Sherita on campus because I was teaching a class for a friend of ours. And we were talking about the Enneagram in communication. And y'all know I like to nerd out about the Enneagram. But we were talking about how, so it was only a 15-minute class, so we couldn't really talk about Enneagram types because there's just too much to talk about there. So we were focused on like the triads, right? And like the head triad, the heart triad, the gut triad. And I made a comment about how one of the things that is so unique about the two most important relationships, friendship-wise for me, the two of you, is that we each represent one of those different triads. You know, Holly's the heart and Sherita's the head and I'm the gut. I feel like the three of us understand those things about each other. Like, we understand that I can't send Holly just an okay in response to a text message, or it's going to evoke a, did I do something wrong? Are you mad at me? Conversation.
Or a single sentence with a period at the end of it.
Yes. Yes. Like, we've come to appreciate those things about each other. And I think those happen organically as you do.
We also learn from each other. And I think that is part of the beauty of Enneagram.
Because 100%.
We have nerded out over the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, when I engage with Holly, it forces me to engage with my heart more because I will disconnect my head from my heart and just think and without feeling. Not that I don't feel, but I will lean into the thinking rather than the feeling. Mm-hmm. And with you, Christy, I learned to trust myself more, my gut, because I have this thing where I trust my head way more than I trust my gut. Yeah. And so by engaging with you guys, I see how our centers really help to shape us individually, but also learning from each other and how to work collectively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I appreciate about the three of us is that, you know, like, if we bring a topic to our group chat, you're going to get a very holistic exploration of that topic, even if it's mundane things, right? Like, you know, just life or things happening in our community or a headline or whatever that is. Like, we all naturally look at things so radically differently. And those are pieces I've learned to embrace that make me a better person because I have an opportunity to listen to you logically look at things, Sherita,
or Holly to listen to you, like, have more of that emotional connection with pieces. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful that that's the case, that you all are very opposite of who I am naturally. And I think that that makes me better, because you are people that mm-hmm. fill my world with different perspectives than are naturally going to be there. Mm-hmm. So. Okay. So another question that was asked is, what are you reading right now?
So I think it's important to just bring back to light that I have pretty significant ADHD. Shireen and I both do. And so I never read just a single book at a time. And it's one of those things I've learned to just, I used to be frustrated with myself about that I could not solely commit to a book. And now I embrace that about myself, because it's kind of a space of like, what do I feel like reading right now? And there can be periods of my day where I, you know, I read a chapter from this book and I read something from this book. So I've got a variety of things. Also, my heart plays into that, because there's times I just can't heart connect to something, or it's just too heavy for me. So I need to reconnect to something a little bit different. I was screenshotting some things because I really struggle with remembering author, especially author last names, or like the specific title. It's like, I can tell you exactly what the book looks like, but I can't always remember the name of it. So one of the books that I am totally geeking out about, and I'm going to like put a plug in here, because I have, I think, the most utmost respect of any author that I've ever read in my entire world is Robin Wall Kimmerer, who is an Indigenous scientist who just connects a lot of nature and her degree of plants and things like that with a lot of Indigenous wisdom and her connection to things. And so I've loved her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, and I'm in the middle right now. I took a break from reading about my trees because I love my trees, but I'm reading her book, Gathering Moss, which has been like the most, it's just like little
nuggets. I mean, it's still like, the earth that you're talking about. It is
like little nuggets.
It's still in the same category.
So now instead of just like going for it, it's like, I'm like, the trees, and then it's like the flowers, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, the moss. I'm trying to name the moss. So it's been really exciting for me, but I do have the most utmost respect for her, and just grateful for the work that she does in our world to like connect people back to the earth, into the indigenous wisdom. She also, I just found out today that she's coming out with a children's book, which I am, yeah, Sharita's getting excited too. Like, I'm so excited about that. So plug that. I don't know when it's coming out, but that one's really exciting for me. I've also, most of you probably know that I had decided to kind of follow with Christy and Sharita's encouragement. I've always loved yoga, really, since having my kiddos and getting a chance to like needing to find a different way to move my body when I couldn't always go for a run. And I've really loved the healing side of it, and have tuned more into what yoga is actually about other than the physical, the westernized side of it. So one of the books that I've been reading, so, and I highly recommend this if yoga is something that you enjoy. I'm reading the book Embrace Yoga's Roots, and I have to pull up the screenshot of her name because I'm going to say it wrong. Her name is Susanna Barkataki. I'm going to butcher that last name, but I'm sure we'll post it. But she goes into just the beautiful history of yoga and how, as a Western culture, not to appropriate yoga. And so I've been really diving into that, and just a lot of respect and a lot of eye-opening perspectives for me. And then the other one that I'm reading right now, well, there's a couple other ones, but I won't go into the whole list of them, but I'm going to like pick a couple of them that I want to share. And I just got this book. It's called We Will Be Shelter: Poems for Survival. It's edited by a poet that I've discovered more recently, and I've just fallen in love with her work, Andrea Gibson, their work. I believe they go by they, them, their work. And it is beautiful, and it's social justice poetry. Mm. And it is just, and it's really woven with some data and pulls a lot of different voices, a lot of different diverse voices. So mm-hmm. I highly recommend that one, both for someone who loves poetry, but also if you want to find a way to bridge maybe a heart for social justice and poet and you know, trying to find a more creative outlet for that, a creative expression for that, I highly mm-hmm. recommend that book. So those are three of mine.
Okay.
I think there's about four or five other ones that kind of make their way in and out, but I won't go down the whole list today. So
that's good stuff. How about you, Sharita? What are you reading?
Well, I'm like Holly. I had to take screenshots because if I don't make screenshots, then I'm going to forget. Literally, guys, right now I'm in this headspace where I'm lecturing in class. And mid-sentence, I could say, what was I saying? Uh-huh. Anything. Anyway, I'm reading as Holly said, several books at one time, always. One, because of what I teach here at Missouri State right now, I am knee deep in all things autism. So I am reading lots and lots of research articles and blogs and websites and just kind of keeping up with a ever-changing world of autism. I'm very interested in right now how the neurodiversity movement is shaping the way that we talk and as speech language pathology treat autism with regards to setting goals for intervention and therapy. I'm reading all things autism, so it's just been very interesting, but it does consume a lot of my brain space for reading right now. So I, as have said before, do a lot of listening and reading of books. And so a book that I've been listening to is the Heaven and Earth Grocery Store. The Heaven
That's
and Earth.
That's one of mine. I'm reading that one right now.
I've been reading that and it's been interesting. One of the things that I've been exploring is this idea of, what's it, Tikkun Olam?
Uh-huh.
Tikkun Olam, which is a Hebrew word for repairing the world.
Yep.
And that's kind of explored in this book. It's a fiction book, but it has a lot of implications about the kinds of things that we talk about with regards to social justice. You see a theme here that we read what we talk about also. I'm also reading a book that I just started. It's called Our Hidden Conversations, What Americans Really Think and Talk, Really Think About Race and Identity by Michelle Norris. It is a book that started with an exploration of how people in America talk about race post-racial period in six words. And the author, Michelle Norris, expanded this to talk about more things and more places. And she did it online and got a lot of feedback from people all over the world about how they talk and think about race and gave lots of insight into where we are with regard to these conversations. And then the another one, of course, I always have to be reading a children's book. Last month, I bought a couple of books for Ujima, and I ended up loving one of them so much, I kept it for myself. And it is called Out of Wonder. It is Poem Celebrating Poets by Kwame Alexander. It is just a beautiful collection of poetry by mostly African-American and African authors, some contemporary, some, you know, older, newer. And it's just a wonderful collection of poetry that is accessible to children and adults. And then the very last one that I have been reading is, there's a theme here. It's called Black Women Will Save the World, an anthem by April Ryan. And this one is a collection of essays, interviews, kind of a biographical kind of space where the author interviews a bunch of African-American women who are leading in spaces or trailblazing spaces where we tend to not always have been welcome, but we blaze those spaces anyway. I think my theme with regards to these books that I'm reading really align with who I am right now and what I struggle with regards to being a leader in a in the community when you feel alone and isolated as a Black woman. Mm-hmm. While I have lots of support and friends, including you two, there's a certain thing that comes along with being a Black woman in America that makes it very challenging. And sometimes in spaces like Springfield, it makes it difficult to have those spaces to have those conversations. And I need to continue to feed my spirit with regards to that topic so that I don't lose sight of the bigger vision.
Well, I'm glad to know that you're listening to the Heaven and Earth Grocery Store, because I need somebody to talk to about it because I have feelings about it. So my reading list is probably a reflection of what we talked about at the beginning with kind of my season of transition and trying to reprioritize some things. I've always been a huge reader, still am a huge reader, but I am coming up to the very end, praise God, of finishing my doctoral degree. I graduate in 11 weeks. 10 and a half weeks. I'm looking at my countdown on my whiteboard over my desk. Like you, Sharita, a lot of my reading right now is consumed with research and journal entries and those kind of things, which I enjoy. I just finished
reading Care of the Souls, Care of the Polis by Ryan LaMouthy, I believe. It's an excellent book that looks at like how faith intersects with economic development and how faith intersects with political areas and all of these different ways. So it's really, really good, very research heavy. And so a lot of my day-to-day is spent doing that. Lots of reading headlines every single day. I usually spend about an hour every morning kind of going through the news. And then I have an app that I use that like pulls new research articles for areas that I've expressed interest in. So I go through those every morning. Typically, my personal readings would have been a lot of nonfiction titles and topics that, you know, theology and things that are really important to me, but trying to like be a little bit more intentional right now in this space and in this season, I really kind of made a shift in myself right about the first of the year, I guess, and have switched to reading more fiction books, especially in the evening. That is not something that I've ever made a lot of space for in my life because I do enjoy reading, but I've never really been able to just like enjoy and get lost in a story. That doesn't happen very often unless like I'm on vacation. So I made a list of some fiction books that have been popular the last few years that I really wanted to read. And just make more of a priority for myself. And so currently I'm finishing up the Heaven and Earth grocery store. Sometimes it feels enjoyable. Sometimes it's kind of like, wow, ooh, okay. So there's that one. I read The Midnight Library recently and passed that on to you to read.
What else?
Yeah, Lessons in Chemistry.
That one also. That one was fun. Yeah,
that one was fun and a little triggering, but good. So yeah, so I've been able to kind of engage in some of those spaces. I think I've told both of you, I recognized a few years ago, I am familiar with a lot of classic literature, but I've never actually taken the time to read a lot of classic literature. Like I know the stories, I know the storylines of so many, but I've really been challenging myself to go back and find the value in fiction and reminding myself of the importance of story. And so that's been a good way for me to find some balance lately in my reading list, is to have a little bit more fiction on there that has not been on there before.
Yeah.
I just started the library book.
Can I just add a nerdy point here that, I don't know if it's nerdy or if it's just a insight into me. I always keep on my reading list, always since I was in undergrad, maybe even high school. I keep a list of making sure that I read the most popular fiction books and fiction titles. One, it started because I love Jeopardy. And so when there are those categories that talk about current fiction, I wanted to be able to, you know, have the answers. But also it's just a great way to connect with other people all over the place who are reading those titles. And so I have always kept that list close to myself so that I can, you know, read some of those titles that everyone's reading right now. So that's how I ended up with the Heaven and Earth Grocery Store and Lessons in Chemistry.
Yeah. I can relate to that a little bit, and I'm trying to shift that in my world too, because I mean my favorite books to read are earthy books and poetry books by far, but that connection piece has been really unique. And I have two sisters, and we're fairly spread out across, you know, I live here in the Midwest, my older sister lives in the mountains, and my little sister lives in the Pacific Northwest, and so we're pretty spread out and don't always get to connect just with busy lives. And that's one thing we almost always text about every week, is just, what are you reading this week? And it's just been a really beautiful way to stay connected to each other, despite the fact that like we do live pretty busy lives. And so I appreciate that too. I think books are so connecting, and I think fiction books are probably the most connective book because there's such a diversity to it, and just people, you know, being able, accessibility, I think is what I'm trying to say there. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Bob and I, when we were on our day the other day, our date day, we went to Barnes & Noble, and then we also went to Pagination, my favorite local bookstore. And it was funny because both stores, like as I was looking in different, you know, categories and sections, I end up in these long conversations with people that were also shopping for books because they'd be looking at something. I was like, oh, that's a really good one. And Bob's like, you can talk to anybody about books. And I was like, yes, that's the great thing about them. It's like, there's connection there. So
I have one more quick one to add because it's really adorable right now. So I kind of talk about, like, I grew up with a family that was big readers, and I grew up reading literature. I grew up reading the classics. Like, I think in fifth grade, I read the entire Lord of the Rings series, and people joke with me because I'm like, I love reading, but I'm really sensitive to media. So like a lot of the books I read like that, I can't watch the movies because they scare me, but I love the books. But one of those books is the Harry Potter series. The movie's terrifying. But I did, I'm like halfway through the series. I need to pick it back up because I do really respect and appreciate the story. But my husband has started reading the first Harry Potter book to our daughter, Eliana, at night. And so I've been listening to it again. The adorable thing though is that with her busy little body, and she's always creating, and she comes home and she makes billions of art projects before bed. And so by the time she lays down, she's usually pretty sleepy. And so they probably get like 3 or 4 pages in. So he'll be reading and I'm like, I want to remember what happens next. And he's like, she's asleep. I'm like, man. So that's been fun too, to get to listen to that while getting to see that passed on down to her. So, and I know that that's a book that you adore. So
yes. Shrita, this is your plug for reading to kids.
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking while Holly was talking, one of the new initiatives, you'll hear it here first, that UGMA is launching this summer is a middle school book club. So I'm in the process of exploring books for middle school kids so that we can choose our book selection for that population. So middle school book club, here we come.
Woohoo! I love it. I'm laughing at Holly, who's over here playing with fidget.
Putty. It's putty.
Putty.
It has little bees in it.
And it keeps popping. And so I'm just laughing because I'm sorry. It's my ADHD, everybody. Well, that's really cool. I'm excited to hear how that goes with the reading club. I love those. So we got several other questions. I'm only going to throw one more out, and we may save the other two for another more serious conversation. But the last question that I want to throw out for discussion and kind of this behind the scenes look at the three of us is a fun question, but also maybe also kind of a tricky one to answer right now, which is, what are things that you're looking forward to? I know that there are some things that we are looking forward to between the three of us that aren't actually public yet. And so I'm just going to name with some like ambiguity that like there's exciting things happening. Not all of them we can talk about, but what are some exciting things you can talk about that you are looking forward to? I know for me, I named one of my big ones, and that is graduation. My cap and gown came in yesterday and I took it out and hung it up. And it's like literally hanging in my office because I was like, I'm just going to stare at that thing while I'm trying to finish all of this work and all of the things to get to the finish line. So I'm definitely very excited and looking forward to that.
I think for me, obviously, I'm like all sucked into the spring and all the nature-y things that come this time of year. So that is just like thrilling to me. And that is another piece I'm grateful for you both in, that like, while I may initially in the moment embody that more, I appreciate that you both really appreciate about that about me and like take that in and sit with that with me. So yeah, I can be really geeking out over the little hen bit that's growing outside, and you both appreciate that about me. So yeah, definitely very excited about spring. I'm very excited about my yoga certification and just finding ways. You know, I'm really passionate about the way that movement heals the body of trauma and the way that movement helps us recenter emotionally. And that, so like I decided to pursue a 200-hour yoga certification. And so I'm about halfway through it, and I'm just there's a lot of energy around that for me. And I'm very excited about that. But I also think I just have this huge kind of dual part of my heart where I have this huge burden for kiddos that are in hard places, and the heart of the Family Connection Program that Christine and I co-founded together, and getting to see that grow is really beautiful, getting to put a lot of energy into that. And that is definitely a huge part of my world. And, you know, getting to see where we're getting to intentionally work on some expansion things. Cause I've been able to, we were able to bring on a co-director and who's now running our little Family Connection house here locally. So I can
focus a lot more on some of those expansion pieces. So that's been really beautiful. But I also have been giving myself a lot more space to tap into this other dual side of my heart, which is very much the creative, which is very much a, you know, the lover of the natural world, a desire to step into a lot more advocacy of, you know, wanting to fight climate change, wanting to encourage people to connect more with the natural world, wanting to see people connect more with the creativity sides of us, which is often such a heart piece of us. And so I'm just really excited for myself, even in such a private way, but also sharing that a little bit more, like on my private Instagram page and stuff like that, like my poetry and art. Yeah. And just getting to embody that a little bit more, I think. So that's been giving me a lot of energy. And it's like, there doesn't have to be purpose for adding, you know, stories, Instagram stories about the sky and the birds and the flowers and getting to share poetry, other than the fact that it's just a beautiful piece of myself that I'm embracing. And I love sharing that with people. So I think there's a lot of excitement for that with me. So yeah.
I love it. I think I shared on this podcast that in 2023, I turned 50, and I am looking forward to the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to who I am meant to be at 51 and forward. I have always been a person who believes in recreating ourselves, refining ourselves, growing, and I'll turn 51 in May. And I am looking forward to this next chapter of my life. I don't know what the next chapter holds. I love to dream about it and vision cast and process with you all about all of the potential and opportunities that lay ahead for me with regards to my mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, academic, financial, all of the health of me, and just growing and developing in those areas. I'm looking forward to more travel. In the last year or two, I've been able to reconnect with some of my closest, dearest friends and annual travel, and I'm looking forward to continuing that. And I'm looking forward to a trip that I have planned for May, early birthday present, to connect with my brother and sister-in-law. So I'm looking forward to continuing to explore the world in new ways. I'm looking forward to being able to learn to value saying no to things that I'm supposed to do and yes to things that my heart just desires to do.
I love that. Love that.
And sometimes they overlap, but I think I have spent a lot of time doing the right thing for others, but not the right things for me.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I am, in addition to being done with school, I am also looking forward to some new book projects and some new writing projects that I am starting. So I've had books on my heart for quite some time that there's just never been time to sit down and put onto paper. So there is one of those that I am starting and hope to finish early next year. Our good friend, Phil Snyder, who has stepped away from the regular appearances on our podcast because of his own time commitments, including a fun new writing project for him, has invited me to collaborate on a project he's working on. So I'm excited to be part of that with him. You'll still hear from Phil from time to time. He's promised that he'll come back and visit. He's juggling a lot of pieces right now in his world, not just at his personal ministry, but also just, you know, regional ministry stuff and all of those things too. So we applaud wise decisions of, you know, priorities that we all have to make, like we talked about with self-care. So we love Phil and I'm excited to get to work with him in other capacities outside of this podcast. So yeah, those are things that I'm looking forward to. Holly's family and my family are taking a vacation together in May that I'm super excited about. It would be one Sherita would probably not enjoy because it will be very loud and a lot of people in a very small Airbnb, but we are headed to the ocean for a week.
So excited.
After graduation is kind of like a present to myself and to our family. So that was Christmas for everybody this year. So I'm really looking forward to that and getting away
I am ridiculously looking forward to not having to keep secrets from anybody anymore and being able to talk about the things that we're really looking forward to that we can't talk about yet. But I think we can easily say that there's some really important and really good work that the three of us are involved in, as well as others. And there's some really important things coming. And we're really looking forward to sharing those and announcing those here on the podcast soon. I'm also really super looking forward to Flip Table Live in St. Louis.
Yeah.
We're going to be in St. Louis the end of April, April 26th, I believe, that Friday night. We are going to be talking about how faith intersects with the foster care system. And I think that will be a phenomenal evening. I'm really looking forward to that whole trip up to St. Louis and getting to connect with some other family connection sites, possibly. Just some good, good stuff and good energy that is coming in this new season.
Yeah.
Good things. Yay. Well, I am looking forward to more conversations with the two of you as well. Formal conversations on the podcast. New adventures that we are undertaking together. And I'm excited to see where things keep going. Really, one of the fun things for me is that this is right about the time last year when we started this podcast. So we're just right around the 1 year mark of this podcast. We are, I believe this is episode 46. So, I mean, we're very close to a full year that we've been gathering in this capacity. And I grow to appreciate this space more and more every single week. And so I'm grateful that you all prioritize this time with me. I'm grateful that we can take our connection that we have just naturally in life and bring it here and center important things and invite other people into these crazy conversations with us, because it's really not that exciting. We talk about the same things all the time. So like, I'm grateful we get to record some of our conversations though, and invite other people to use them to process in their world.
I also just want to add, like, this was a lot of fun today to get to talk on just kind of some lighter things. I do want to add that I think it's really exciting to see, especially with that Flip Table community group, just getting to hear and see some of you interacting. I know Facebook and I are not super great friends, so I do need to be more engaging in there. But I know when I do jump in, I really appreciate seeing some of those. And so like, I also just want to add that, like, to reach out if you have topics on your heart, to have things that you would like to hear discussed, you can do that privately or in that group. You can reach out to us privately and we can add that to our list. I know we've had several that we've added to our list this year, kind of when it fits and falls in a good space for us. So I just want to add that too. Like, I am grateful. Like, it still blows me away that people listen to us, I guess, on this podcast. Like, I think that's really cool that people value our conversations, but we also value the things that you're processing and dealing with. So if there's something on your heart, please reach out, because we would love to, you know, kind of add that to what we would like to talk about. So,
yeah. Any last thoughts from you, Sherita?
This was a pleasant experience today. Although I always enjoy our conversations, I usually leave feeling full in my head, but today made me feel full in my heart and my gut. And so I appreciate that.
That's a good way to end. I like that. That's a beautiful way to say that. Mm. So, all right. Well, we will be back next week with another episode, probably a little deeper and a little bit more serious, but still with the same heart and relational connection that we brought into this one. So we look forward to connecting with you again next week. Again, if you're not part of that Facebook group that Holly just mentioned, jump in and join us, because it is a good place to connect with people. It's a good place to process. It's a good place for some discussion. So we will talk to you all next week.